you may look at that teammate and just chalk it up to, I don't like that person. But when you're able to pull out like, okay, they are this way because that's just their natural behavior and personality type, then it gives a little better insight.
I'm Alicia Domenico, host of the Company Growth Podcast and CEO of Tangible Words. In this limited series, Books to Help You Grow, I'm sharing the books that have unlocked the most ideas for Tangible Words and our clients. While I recommend these books all the time, in each episode, I'll help you assess if the book will help you grow. Is it that so many parts of your job can wear you down, even if you were the person who created the job? I think I have an answer to that question that a lot of you probably ask, but to answer it, I'm going to turn to a few other resources. There's a number of things I want to do in this episode. I want to talk to you about a wonderful tool to use in your day-to-day called Crystal Knows. I want to talk to you about Gallup's strength-based leadership book and how it really focuses on the importance of creating trust in your working environment. And I also want to talk about Patrick Leoncini's book, Six Types of Working Genius. It's the honeymoon phase. You love coming into work. You love the work that you're doing. You're intrigued by the people that you're working with. But then, conflict. Something that always ends the honeymoon phase in every relationship or workplace culture is the arrival of conflict. And so much in the Western world, we are taught to fear conflict or avoid it. But there are ways to work through conflict, and any workplace and relationship will be stronger for the way in which you work through it. But first, you need some tools to understand yourself and how to communicate through them. That's what this whole episode is about. Patrick Leoncini's book, Six Types of Working Genius, A Better Way to Understand Your Gifts, Your Frustrations, and Your Team, was released in 2022. All of Leoncini's books start with a fable, and he's been a best-selling author before, and I think when you start reading this book, you'll find it's such an engaging narrative style, you won't want to put it down. In the fable at the beginning of Leoncini's book, Six Types of Working Genius, a man has created a job for himself after struggling his whole working career, only to find out that he is no longer loving the job that he created for himself. Ask any parent, and they'll tell you there are simply jobs that you have to do in your daily life that you don't want to do. Folding laundry, it's got to get done. You don't necessarily want to do it or enjoy it. And that's the same with your workplace, Leoncini explains. The key to not just surviving, but thriving in your workplace is to understand the jobs that you love to do and to make sure that you have time to do those things throughout each of your weeks of work. The things that are easy for you, your working geniuses, he calls them, can be really energizing. They're the things that you love to do because they're easy, or you find yourself feeling productive or a sense of completion from them. Or maybe it's just the fact that you feel like a genius when you're doing them. It's the kind of feeling that will keep you going despite having to face some of those harder or boring folding laundry type of tasks that you sometimes get stuck with in any workplace and in any household. It makes me think about what my friend Jeremy Bout, CEO of Edge Factor, explained to me a long time ago with a question. Why are we spending all this time focusing on what we're not good at? We're constantly trying to perfect people and make them good at all the things instead of just pairing them with somebody who is strong at the things that they're weaker at. It's a great question. And to understand the theory behind that, I'm going to turn to Gallup's book, Strength-Based Leadership. Strength-based leadership really has about 100 pages that you need to read, which is the theory of strength-based leadership. Part one is about investing in your strengths, which means you need to know what they are. Part two is about maximizing your team, which is what Jeremy Bout was talking about in terms of pairing up the individuals who can strengthen each other. And part three is understanding why people will follow you. One of my favorite points made in Gallup's strength-based leadership books is how we tend to recruit by job function to fulfill teams, and we tend to ignore individual strengths. One of the points about maximizing your team that I absolutely love here is thinking about how your team is functioning now and where your gaps are as a team. So you hire someone who can come into that team to fill those gaps instead of thinking about just the job function that needs to be done. Of course, when we talk about indexing our own strengths as leaders, we often aren't even aware of what strengths we hold, let alone the inner strengths of our team. I think there's a great fear of indexing skills in the workplace because part of us is always wondering if we even have the ability to assess a person's strength. Is it based in reality, the way that you see that person? You might think that a person has that skill or doesn't have that skill, but the fact is the situation or even you might not be the best measuring stick. So these tools come into play in order to help you really get a handle on that. Additionally, I think there's a great hesitation in workforce to really start with an idea of job function versus individual strength measurement because strengths can change over time and people can influence that based on the leaders or the managers of a team as well as the work that has to be done. And that's where the tools of Patrick Leoncini's book and also Gallup's strength-based leadership book can really help you identify what your skills are. I know you have probably heard of measurement tools of all kinds. You know about the color system, you know about Myers-Briggs, you know about DISC profiling. There are lots of different ways to measure strengths. What's unique about Gallup's approach for strength-based leadership and Patrick Leoncini's is it's really talking about the working geniuses of workplace life, not your personal life, but looking at how people influence each other and the work that needs to be done might be easier for some people than it is for others. And building out your teams to create that ease for everybody creates a really nice workplace culture that everybody wants to contribute to. But before we talk about an app that will help you change the way you communicate with prospects, with clients, with people within your own workplace and the ones that you might want to hire, the key lesson from Leoncini and Gallup is to understand that you are not just hiring for individuals, but that you are looking at how an individual will form part of a team. And that leads you into looking at how an app can help you change the way you communicate in that team. And the other key lesson is to look at the fact that there are some jobs nobody wants to do. And when you know that some jobs are easier for some people than others, and you index those skills, you can build a more cohesive team by pairing each other up with strengths and making sure that the work that has to get done gets done by the people who are best able to do it versus the ones who get forced to do it all the time and end up creating a job or doing a job that they hate. And I know you're probably listening and thinking, Alicia, for all of these different tools that we have, isn't there an app for that? And yes, there is. Enter Crystal Knows, the platform that will allow you to change the way you communicate and adapt it for the person that needs to hear it. Crystal Knows is an app that can tell you anyone's personality without getting them to do a personality assessment. They do it all with AI that analyzes millions of online data points to accurately identify a person's motivations, communication style, and other behavioral traits. I invited Crystal Knows customer success manager, Brooke Watson, to the show because I wanted to dig into her deep knowledge of why understanding personalities is so important in leadership and team building and how it can reduce problems like burnout and interpersonal clashes. We got into all of that later in the conversation, but first, we kicked off with some context about what the app was designed to do.
So yeah, it's awesome to be here. I am Brooke, and at Crystal, we're really focused on being an adaptive selling platform. And with that, we use DISC, which is a personality framework, to just give insights about ourselves and others. And I think what that's doing is our software really helps organizations and just teams in general be more effective in selling to or communicating with people based on their preferred styles and motivators. So you're really meeting people where they prefer to be met communication-wise. So it can be a more effective relationship in building that rapport.
And it's interesting that you introduce it as adaptive selling because one of the places that a lot of companies jump in with you first is actually on the recruitment and then the team building side.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have made more of a shift to sales organizations being our prime client. We just found that they are receiving our software more effectively because they are jumping into prospecting and outreach with people that they likely don't know anything about. And yeah, you can do the research on the back end and look up things via their social media and LinkedIn, but we're really solving the problem of kind of doing that work for you quickly by making a prediction of their personality. So you know how to communicate with that person in the way, like I mentioned before, the way they like to be communicated with, understanding their motivators, their strengths, their blind spots. And it just makes it an easier first step when you're jumping into a communication with that person.
Let's talk more about how people have communication preferences. Like, why is that so important about communicating the way that somebody is going to be able to hear you and what you're actually saying to them?
Over 80% of Fortune 500 companies use DISC in some aspect to that point, because it's really important to understand the people you're communicating with, your team members. One, so you can build a culture of empathy by actually adapting your behavior, your communication style to that person you're communicating with. And then on the flip side, just having a better understanding in that self-awareness component, so you know where your strengths and blind spots are, that you can adapt your behavior accordingly. So I think that's where Crystal really makes a big difference, by providing those insights for you.
It gives you that self-awareness that is hard to attain. You know, you sort of, Absolutely. Everyone sort of is going along doing their best, trying to do their best in communicating, and everyone thinks they've, you know, they're doing a good job, or they hope mm-hmm. they are, but there's always these spots we can't see. And so Crystal knows, illuminates it. And I had said to you, I challenged you on the whole DISC concept, but I thought it was interesting that Crystal Knows doesn't just rely on DISC.
Yeah, we have multiple personality assessments. So some that you're familiar with, maybe like the Strengths Finder or 16 Personalities, which is like Myers-Briggs, and the Enneagram. But we really do pull our insights from DISC because we find that it's more actionable. The other personality assessments are helpful for the self-awareness component, but DISC can actually put action steps in place for you to adapt your behavior accordingly, like we mentioned before, when you're communicating with other people. So you're not just focused on your natural behaviors, you're pivoting to how they prefer to be communicated with.
And we've had lots of great conversations in our interviewing process where we use Crystal to be able to say, look, when you filled in your candidate assessment, it said you were this type, you know, you were likely to not enjoy blunt criticism, but that's something mm-hmm. that, you know, we do a lot of at Tangible Words because we're moving fast and we're critiquing work all the time and we're critical thinkers. So we've had a conversation with the candidate about how does that resonate with them, that assessment? Mm-hmm. And they're able to say, I was surprised about that. Or maybe it's something they've known about themselves for a long time and they've been working on. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's a language to put to something to even be able to have the conversation about, hey, actually, we didn't realize, but this thing is really important to us. This, you know, my example, blunt criticism element. Let's mm-hmm. make sure that that's going to be comfortable for you so that we start the relationship off knowing that this job is going to be a better fit.
You hit the nail on the head there. It's really about providing a common language within your team. So when you use something like DISC, I think some people get caught up in, okay, are you pointing out something wrong that I'm doing? Are you seeing my blind spots? It's actually the complete opposite of that, because you are trying to recognize where those team members naturally can succeed and bring the most value based on their energizers and their strengths. So having that common language surrounding that and being able to go into, you know, a feedback session, a one-on-one with one of your team members, and being able to give that feedback in the way they best hear it and perceive it is really helpful when you have something like Crystal to give you those insights. Otherwise, you're kind of flying blind and typically going into that communication in the way you would want to hear it. And everybody's personality is different. They're going to receive it in different ways. And people need different things from you to feel valued and want to be a part of your team.
One of the things that I also challenged on this assessment was it's pulling from your LinkedIn profile. And that might not be an exact same DISC profile that you might complete for yourself. However, after talking with you, I realized that actually it doesn't really matter because how you communicate on LinkedIn shows a level of comfort with that communication style.
Absolutely. And so really we are working towards more globally enriched data. So we're pulling from a lot of places other than LinkedIn. But what we have found in our millions of assessments that people have taken via Crystal since our beginning, is that there are common keywords, common roles, common responsibilities, things that tend to feed into your natural personality type because you're going to gravitate towards things that feel natural to you. So the prediction is a best guess. It's not a silver bullet, but it's more information going into a situation with somebody than you maybe had to begin with. And then as you get to know someone, understanding DISC, having that background, you can adapt your behavior based on little nuances in their communication style you pick up on.
It's really about thinking about that goal that you both want to get to, which is success or which is project completion or whatever it is. And so being able to communicate in a way that you can both be heard, I think is really, really important to get you to that goal of success.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up a good point earlier just about acknowledging those strengths in your team members. And I think that's a huge piece of just being a strength-based leader is one, you're recognizing what you bring to the table, but then you're recognizing what your team members bring to the table and that you can kind of hold them accountable or set them up for success by kind of mentoring them or pushing them towards those strengths. Maybe something that they don't necessarily see in themselves, but something you acknowledge by using different, you know, personality assessments, whatever it may be, just your observations of their strengths in the workplace. Because I do think that at times leaders can just assume that their strengths are everyone's strengths and kind of get in that rut. But that's why it's so important to build these balanced teams that, you know, have different strengths, have different blind spots, and have different energizers. So you're not all looking at the problem in the same way. And I think that's something that is helpful in every relational situation, not just within the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. And to pair up the teams, like we've been using the team features on Crystal to pair up the teams with people who would be strong, but also to provide support to be like, oh, you know, collectively note-taking might not be your team's sport. That doesn't mean we have to disband the team. It just means let's give them some strategies for how to compensate for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really about, you know, as humans, we're capable of everything, right? It's not that there's things that we can't necessarily do. It's just that there are different tasks or responsibilities that we are going to be more naturally, you know, energized by or more naturally driven by. And so when you set people up within their roles with those specific tasks, it's going to create an environment and a culture that's just happier and more efficient and more effective. And there's going to be less burnout. You know, for example, I am an I-type personality when it comes to the DISC framework. And so things that are, you know, more innovative and creative and just brainstorming and just connecting with other people, those are things that are going to naturally just energize me and where I like to spend my time. But, you know, if I am looking at tasks that might pop up that are on the opposite side of the DISC wheel. So looking at, you know, more of those C type, conscientious type personalities, tasks that go with that are more like, you know, analyzing data, spreadsheets, combing through budgets. If those are things that are a part of my everyday, I am going to start to get burnt out because that's just not my natural wheelhouse and where I prefer to put my energy. So recognizing that within your team members and putting them in positions where they can naturally succeed and evolve is, I think, a huge piece of understanding personality types.
That is absolutely the core of the six types of working genius. He has these people in an office and at one point they loved their job, but then their job got to be, you know, doing a whole other set of skills that they had to do all the time. And it's not that, what he's very careful about saying, it's not that you don't have to do things that you don't like to do sometimes. We all have to pay bills and fold laundry, yeah, which nobody particularly likes doing, I don't think. But we all have to do things like that. But it is about how you spend the bulk of your day and your time on the types of activities that are going to re-energize you, or even just making sure that you have those sprinkled through to re-energize you can make a difference.
Absolutely. And at Crystal, we tend to call that the energy cost of that task, which just resonates with me. Because when you're really thinking about the disc map in general, I know I keep referring back to that, but it's such a good way to visualize when there's the four quadrants and understanding the behaviors that go with each personality type. If you're having to drive across the disc map every day for tasks that are outside of your natural personality type, it's going to take a lot more gas, right? So you're going to drain yourself a lot quicker than you would if you're kind of staying within your wheelhouse and doing the things that you enjoy. And I think that same goes for, you know, the leadership portion of that. As a leader, you know, I feel like people assume or expect that you have to be an expert at all the areas of your business, right? But that's why you're setting yourself up with a team of people who can fill in the areas that might be your blind spots. So you're not becoming burnt out and inefficient within your role, and you can really continue to focus on building an effective team.
Absolutely. One of the things that I think is so important about Crystal Knows right now is how competitive the workforce is. And when I say competitive, I mean it's very hard to find talent, people who want to do the jobs that we have, or people who are skilled to do the jobs that we have. Because, you know, as some people say it, we're pulling from the same labor pool all the time. So people are just shifting between roles of the same, you know, market community. Or maybe it's just that we've been training people for the wrong roles for a long time, and the pace of change is accelerated and we need retraining. How do you see Crystal Knows as being able to support this really difficult to find people and hire best fit people, I guess?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think a lot of that stems back to those things we've already talked about. I think putting a common language in place where your team is already kind of in the loop on their own personality type. And then if you're hiring for a specific role and there are certain responsibilities within that role, just like any job description would have, you're going to be able to kind of pull some of those keywords, and Crystal actually helps you do this in a part of our platform, pull some of those keywords to find what the ideal personality type would be for that role. So therefore, you're finding people who are the best fit, not rolling people out per se based on their personality type, but finding people who are going to be energized and are naturally fit to those responsibilities in that role. So that's something that Crystal provides and helps with in a portion of our platform. And on the other side of that, once those candidates or people are hired, then having the awareness of their personality type, how they might fit with their manager, their leader, how they might collaborate best with other team members, what strengths they bring to the table. We have something called playbooks at Crystal that really kind of helps you look into certain circumstances of brainstorming with a team or working with a team. And I think all of those ways are supported through DISC via Crystal's platform.
I also love the playbook where you have resolving conflict in a team, because one of the things that I found this with contractors, hiring them to do like a renovation, you know, a little bit of conflict in the relationship early on isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's how you work through that conflict, because you can't avoid conflict.
That's so true, because initially without a common language like DISC, you may look at that teammate who happens to be an opposite personality type as you and chalk it up to, I don't like that person. But when you're able to pull out like, okay, they are this way because that's just their natural behavior and personality type, then it gives a little better insight on, one, how you can adapt to make that collaboration more effective. And then two, just being more empathetic towards how other people operate and what you can learn from that as a team. So that's something that I really enjoy. And I'm obviously a personality geek, so all this stuff excites me. But knowing as much as you can about another person is helpful in any rapport building and relationship.
I think one of the things that we're very passionate about Tangible Words, and a lot of other employers join us in this, is hiring for diversity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a part of building that balanced team, right? Is making sure you're including people with different experiences, different backgrounds, different abilities, different strengths, and playing into those. And the more you do that, the more effective team you're going to be building. I think that starts with just understanding people as a person first.
Well, it's a trap you can easily fall into. I'm a D on the DISC profile, a driver. And I just, you know, there's people that you just get along with and you can chat forever, or you just, you know, you make a project happen and you both approach it the same way and it's just so easy. And so one of the things that I've been curious about is, why is it so easy to talk to that person, or why do we get along so well? And it's often because we're both D's. And I don't know if every profile has that or if that's a total, you know, a D trait, but I do think it's useful for that awareness of being like, oh, but that doesn't mean that I can't also work really successfully with these other people who might be actually better suited to this role that I need to hire for. And a lot of companies hire that way, right? The owner hires the people that they get along with, they communicate naturally, but it can be to the detriment of the company because you actually need someone who is details oriented, which is one of the gaps of the D personality, is that we can tend to not be very detail oriented.
And it's interesting that you tend to gravitate towards other D type personalities, because at times similar personalities, especially being that competitive driving force like you are as a D type, can cause you to butt heads with other D types who have that same competitive energy. But like you mentioned, there are personality types that tend to be a little bit more compatible. Now, of course, we know everyone can work together when you understand each other and you're putting in that culture of empathy and whatnot. But you mentioned that detail-oriented person is probably going to be helpful for you in filling in some of those blind spots. And that's so true, because the D types who tend to be more high-level and results-oriented, they're going to really find value from working with a C-type personality who is that meticulous, detail-oriented, research-driven type of person, because you're going to be driving the car and they're going to be fixing the holes while you're driving it. And I think that goes in the same way with I-types and S-types. And we could get into all of those different dynamics of personalities, but you're spot on when you say, you're looking to kind of fill those gaps with team members and not just want to gravitate towards your own personality type within your team.
Yeah, that's what we've noticed, is that the role that we needed to hire for to replace me in operations was actually a C role, someone who could mm-hmm. do details and could fix the things that I didn't always have time to do and that I didn't enjoy doing. So it has been a gap filler for us 100%, even at a small company like Tangible Words, where we consider ourselves, you know, boutique-y. We keep a staff generally of under 15 people.
I love that you kind of saw that within who you needed to fill the gaps with based on personality types of what you were looking for.
For more information on strengths-based leadership from Gallup, visit store.gallup.com. Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast on YouTube or at anchor.fm/companygrowthpodcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growing pains. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.